Here are clips from the last four episodes of the FloridaProgressives.com podcast, plus a preview of episode 15, which will be out Tuesday, August 12th. From episode 11, Awake Pinellas coordinator Kofi Hunt.
And I mean, that's really the challenge of being an organizer in this day and age, especially in a state as geographically large, but also culturally large. Some people say Florida is five different states in one, and anybody that's traveled around could really see what they're talking about. I mean, you go from one end to the other, people are completely different ways of thinking and priorities and culture. You really have to appeal to them, not on a broad, like, this is Florida, but you have to appeal to them in a way that's local in how they speak and how they think. And that's one of the reasons why we do, with this movement, try to connect with people all over the state, because we need them to bring their voice to our table. Because I, in Tampa, do not appreciate the voice of someone in Jacksonville who does not appreciate the voice of someone in Miami, does not appreciate the voice of someone in Pensacola. But if we can bring each of those people together to talk about all of our shared values of promoting democracy, of enhancing democracy economically, socially, and politically, but saying it through our own vernacular, that's how we're going to really take this movement to the next level, where we can start to have some impact and really start to change the way things work in this state.
From episode 12, progressive activist Joe Snodgrass.
All labor unions right now pretty well have an organizational campaign. And they organize people, they increase their membership, they increase their union dues, but they fail to teach what our ancestors fought for in the history of organized labor, how they fought for the rights to be represented by a labor union, what accomplishments they got. Also, another thing about history, to pass it on at this time, and is to, for people that are not union members and never have been union members, they must realize that without the labor unions and what they fought for, they have rode on our shirt tails all this time. They don't want to admit it, but it's the honest truth. When my wages go up as a union electrician, the non-union wages go up too, because they don't want to lose that electrician to the union through an organizing program.
Yes, and in terms of benefits, let's say it's a private sector, non-unionized job. I've heard people complain with those types of jobs, say, well, why should they get all these benefits and great pay when we don't? And that's a weird logic to me, because they're trying to drag everybody down to their level instead of fight for their own rights, you know?
Exactly. Why criticize me because I make a fair living wage and you don't? So don't come up with an original idea of how to fight for your own benefits. Better yet, drag me down. Make me the villain. Turn the tables on me and make me look like I am the one. Organized labor is the one that is destroying the economy and creating havoc for everybody else.
From episode 13, Martin County DEC members, Patricia Metro Patrick and Mike Patrick.
Our DEC has put out a public statement that we will not support any candidate that accepts money from the sugar industry.
And we invited the Martin County Republican Party to make the same statement, because this was a cross-the-board issue that affects the entire community, affects the well-being of our fishing industry in Martin County. We have tourism that depends on people wanting to come and see the river and the ocean, stuff like that. And when it looks like nasty green-black coffee, basically, and you can't swim in it because you'll get weird infections and lesions on your body, you would think that the Republican Party would say, yeah, that sounds good too, but no, they wouldn't join on to our resolution because all of their politicians take sugar money, period. Don't even have someone who has the political courage to stand up and say, I'm not going to do that because it's affecting the people in my area negatively. So they wouldn't even join us on making this resolution. And so you have river activists, you know, I say to them, look at the two parties. You have the Democratic Party who is standing up for the environment, standing up for what you believe in, standing up for what's right for you, and the Republican Party who refuses to, and even will say, well, agriculture is very important business and very important to our area. We can't possibly do anything about it, because they don't want to dare offend the FanJul brothers. So I ask these people, well, we are fighting for your side. Why won't you in turn fight for us? So there's a river rally coming up August 3rd. It's the anniversary of the one we had last year on August 3rd to protest the discharges that had ruined the entire summer tourism industry and things.
in Martin County and northern Palm Beach County, and it's not an exaggeration when I say you could not go in the water. There are people going in and getting infections, and then all the news would say was there's something wrong with the water, and we don't know what it is, and we don't know who's to blame. We luckily had Eve Samples at Stewart News, who just pursued it endlessly. So the second annual protest is coming up, and they've said no politicians are allowed to speak. Politicians can come if they want to and listen to us. And I say, politicians are the ones who are going to be able to get regulations passed to stop this kind of thing from happening. Politicians are going to be the ones to put pressure on the Army Corps of Engineers. We've already tried citizen pressure. We've already tried activist pressure. They don't care. The Army Corps of Engineers, they don't care about what we have to say. The FanDuel brothers, they don't care about what we have to say. They need regulation in place. They need laws in place. We need money approved for it. Money just doesn't appear out of thin air. You need politicians to get that money. So for people to say that politicians can't do anything, or politicians don't do anything, or they can't help us, you're not electing the right politicians then.
And I'd like to add to that is, you know, some of the river activists have been talking about, you know, we need action, not words. And for the most part, I really do agree with that. But here's the thing. We have people running for different offices in the state of Florida that have ideas on how to fix the lagoon. They're not elected yet, so they haven't been able to take action. So they need to tell people what they're going to do. So those people, all they have are words. They're not action yet. And if you don't let them get the chance to explain it, then I really feel like that's troublesome, because if you care about the river, you need to be listening to the people that are running that also care. You need to know who you should vote for, who should get your vote that's going to actually help the river. And if you don't give these people the chance to speak, then you're never going to know that. And it's not just the river, with so many issues in the community. I've had to tell people, yes, we the activists are very important. We are the ones that essentially do make the changes, but the changes we want, those laws need to be passed by our lawmakers. They need to be written by our lawmakers. So we do have to have that dialogue and put the pressure on the politicians, because we can only go so far. They have to actually do it. But you have people that, again, and there seems to be this sort of like internal war with some of the activists, because we had a bunch of activists that went to Tallahassee and spoke to our Florida state lawmakers and put pressure on them. And then you have the ones that went to D.C. that Patrick Murphy got to speak to other members of Congress and whatnot. And some of them are kind of looked at like as part of the problem, which I really just don't get that.
From episode 14, Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida President Susan Smith.
Okay, so what I'm hearing from you is it's not like either or. It seems to be all of the above. It's this culture, poverty. You mentioned entertainment briefly, you know, and it's also the wide availability of guns. I think the NRA will put video games as like the number one culprit above everything else. When, yes, it is true, video games, movies, television have gotten more violent, but I wouldn't say that's the predominant contributing factor, would you?
No, I don't think it's the predominant factor, but you combine that along with the proliferation of guns, along with the stressed out society we're living in, you know, where people are under constant pressure, whether it's educational pressure or pressure to perform or poverty issues they're living with. And, you know, we live in a very stressful world. And when you combine all of these things, it's just like a time bomb waiting to go off. So there are many issues that need to be addressed. We have a lot of broken systems, and I don't know when our elected officials are going to decide it's time to fix them. But until they do, and I know you and I had communicated about that article about the Democratic Party losing its way, and I think it's so true. And until we realize that it's not just the way we messaged something along the way, it's because we have a broken economy, we have broken infrastructure, we have, you know, so many things about our world are broken, and we're not willing to address those issues, and we don't have courageous leaders that will address them. And I really am worried about our country at this point in time.
And coming up soon from episode 15, the founder of 50th No More, the first grassroots education group in Florida, Colleen Wood.
50th No More, I do believe, is working with a national group now called Network for Public Education. Is that true?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the type of work you are doing with them and also what your goals are.
The Network for Public Education was co-founded by Diane Ravitch and Anthony Cody in 2013 as a way of uniting people who across the country were working to protect, preserve, and defend public education. And all of us fundamentally believe public education is a critical building block of any functioning democracy. And we knew that there were commonalities. There were things happening all across the country. One of the things that came out of a very successful conference we had in Austin, Texas, was this recognition that the overtesting and the misuse of standardized testing is affecting all of our children. And at the end of our conference, our board of directors issued a call to Congress to hold hearings on the overuse and misuse of standardized testing. And one of the things that we hope to do is to expose what many of us have seen happening in the states, these conflict of interest between legislators and the testing companies. We're not getting it done at the state level. And so our hope is that if enough people nationally call for it, that we can compel Congress to hold hearings. And let's talk about whether standardized testing is the right way to evaluate students. We do not believe that it is what should be used to rank, sort, and label children.
That kind of pressure is really needed, because now that you mention it, even my favorite members of Congress, not many talk about this issue at all. So,
no, it's not. You know, we have one representative from Florida who sits on the committee that handles education in the workforce, and it's not the committee everyone wants to be on. At the same time, it is the most fundamental building block that we have. If we don't have a strong system of public education, we as a country are in peril. And we hear a lot of talk these days about what's going to ruin our country, and yet we ignore the very building block that affects over 80% of the children in our country. Mm-hmm. And so we're hoping that when people go to the website at thenetworkforpubliceducation.org, they can download a copy of the letter and send it in to us in DC, and we're going to deliver them, or they can sign an online version of the letter. And what we'd like to do is be able to say to Congress, we have people from every state in this union, in each one of your districts, who are saying we need to have public hearings on the overuse and misuse of standardized testing.
Find more podcast interviews at floridaprogressives.com. Find me on Twitter at Mike Idson, last name spelled E-I-D-S-O-N. And give the show a like on Facebook at the floridaprogressives.com podcast. Thanks for listening.